Next case is 071345, Wally Patterson versus WW Granger, Inc. Ms. Beck.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is Jennifer Speck, and I represent Wally Patterson in this case. I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. The language of Ohio Civil Rule 41A1A states that a plaintiff without leave of court may dismiss all claims asserted by that plaintiff against a defendant. The certified question before the court today is whether a plaintiff can create a final appealable order by filing a 41A1A dismissal of one of several claims. Today, I am respectfully requesting that the court reverse the 8th Appellate District in this case because the 8th Appellate District's decision was unsupported and incorrect that a plaintiff can dismiss an individual claim, but not all claims, for the purpose of creating a final appealable order under Civil Rule 41. A party cannot use Civil Rule 41 to create a final appealable order because the plain meaning of Civil Rule 41A1A is clear and unambiguous that it can be used only to dismiss all claims, not one claim. Also, four other districts in Ohio have held that 41A1A can only be used to dismiss all claims. It is only fair and equal application of the rules that we only use 41A1A to dismiss all claims, not one claim. Moreover, the court's decision in Denham versus New Carlisle does not allow such an expansive interpretation of 41A1A. The final reason that I'm requesting that this court not allow 41A1A to create a final appealable order by dismissing only one claim is because allowing piecemeal dismissal by way of 41A would be confusing as to when the final appealable order was created, as which occurred in this case. The court has held that when a rule or statute is sufficiently clear in the language, the court will look no further and apply the rule according to the plain language of the statute. The plain language of Civil Rule 41A1A makes it clear that a plaintiff may only dismiss all claims by way of a voluntary dismissal under that rule.
Well, counsel, the public policy claim was what remained. Is
correct.
That right? And there was an appeal from the summary judgment on the, and you would agree in this particular world of age discrimination, wrongful discharge, and all of that, public policy claims are sort of the last thin thread, right?
They're weak, Your Honor, which is why we attempted to dismiss that claim.
Yeah. Okay.
After Wiles, we had decided that there was no merit, which is typically why plaintiffs will decide to dismiss a claim, either through discovery they realize they can't meet the elements of the claim, or case law may change and they realize that they no longer have a viable claim. You're right.
Okay.
Four other districts in Ohio have held that Civil Rule 41A1A creates a mechanism for dismissing only the entire action and not individual claims. The 2nd District, 4th District, 5th District, and 11th District have all held that the only proper way to dismiss a claim would either be by a 15A amended complaint or requesting a 54B certification.
Well, counsel, that's my question. Why was that not done? If you took the time to go back after the first venture with the appellate 8th district, and you go back and you file your dismissal of the last remaining claim, why was there not an order presented to the judge with the 54B language in it to get the appeals in the proper form?
Your Honor, it is custom in the 8th Appellate District to dismiss claims by way of 41A1A, so we followed the custom of our district.
Okay, that doesn't answer my question. Why you just didn't, just to ensure things, go back? You already had filed a document saying you've dismissed your last remaining claim. Wouldn't you have coupled that with an order for the judge to sign?
We could have done that, Your Honor, but we didn't do it in this case. The court's ruling in Denham is easily distinguishable in this from this case. In Denham, the court expanded the old civil rule 41A, which stated that a dismissal without prejudice leaves the parties as if no action had been brought at all. And the court expanded it where a party may dismiss individual defendants from the case. And after that, civil rule 41A1A was changed so that it stated that all claims asserted by that plaintiff against a defendant could be dismissed. If the legislature intended at that time that it would be less than all claims, they could have changed the statute to reflect that. But they made it clear that it is only dismissal of all claims. The final reason that we request that the court allow 41A1A to dismiss only all claims is because it can create confusion, as it did in this case, as to when the time period starts to run for the 30 days to file a notice of appeal. I respectfully request that the judgment of the 8th Appellate District be vacated and the plaintiff's dismissal by 41A1A results in a nullity, which allows us to go back, request for a 54B certification, and finally allow the appellate court to hear the case on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peck. Mr. Granger.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, counsel, may it please the court, my name is Aaron Granger. Sitting with me at counsel table is Jim Davidson, and collectively we represent the defendant appellee, W.W. Granger, Inc. In resolving the conflict among the districts, this court has an opportunity to establish a policy that promotes the elimination of delay and unnecessary expense and advocate the expeditious administration of justice. And the court can do that by allowing the plaintiff to unilaterally dismiss one or more of their claims in a multi-count complaint for the purpose of achieving a final appealable order.
Would that have to be a dismissal with prejudice, or would it be without prejudice in your view? Or would it make a difference?
I think when you do a dismissal without prejudice, it still operates as if the action or the claim had never existed. And so it would be my view that whether it was dismissed with or without prejudice, you could still create a final appealable order.
Despite the fact that it would be subject to being refiled.
That is correct.
That makes it final.
Well, it's final in the sense that once you voluntarily dismiss, the action goes away. It doesn't automatically get refiled. It's optional. It can certainly be refiled, but it also can be completely abandoned. Three quick reasons as to why we believe that the court should adopt this policy. And first, I think it mirrors the exact intent of the parties in this particular case. It's also consistent with the history and the incremental evolution of Ohio Civil Rule 41, which encourages unilateral dismissals. And the more broad picture, I think that it inures to the benefit of the judicial system as a whole. And I'll take each of those three in turn. First, let's examine what was the actual intent of the parties in this particular case. There's no evidence in the record that the plaintiff acted with any nefarious intent. No evidence in the record that the plaintiff was trying to abuse the process. The plaintiff in this case was merely trying to get the case back up to the Court of Appeals as fast as humanly possible. And on that point, the company was in agreement. We simply did not want to lose our place in line. We wanted to get back up to the place where we were on the court's docket, on the briefing schedule, on the oral argument schedule. So this was an attempt by the parties collectively to try to get this back up to the Court of Appeals as soon as possible. In that regard, the plaintiff received the exact relief that they sought from the 8th District Court of Appeals. A plaintiff made a specific strategic calculation with regard to dismissing that individual claim. And we operate under a judicial system that allows the plaintiff to truly be the master of their own complaint. They are the ones, after all, in the best position to evaluate the sustainability of their claims. And so that is part of our system that we operate under currently. If we want to strive to the expeditious administration of justice, then we ought to allow the plaintiff to secure the ability to have a final appealable order by operation of 41A when you're dismissing an individual claim.
Mr. Granger, why couldn't the plaintiff have used 41A2? And had the court order it? Because you're really asking us to rewrite Rule 41. Rule 41A talks about all claims and gives you two options under A and B, A1A and A1B, but it also talks about all claims. And if you're talking about a single claim, it seems to me that you go to Section 2 and talk about having the dismissal by order of the court. Couldn't you have gotten your place in line in the Court of Appeals simply by having this be blessed by the court?
I would certainly agree that there were a whole host of different mechanisms that the plaintiff could have used to secure the final appealable order and get our place back in line with the Court of Appeals. And I think that that is one of the overall points that we would ask the court to submit, that there's no argument that the plaintiff would have received a different result, a different ending point, had they used a different means. We're not offering that somehow using the voluntary dismissal would create a different end. And if all we're talking about is different means to get to the same ends, then I think what we're really discussing is truly form over substance.
And well, so, we're talking about following the rules as they're written, aren't we? I mean, it talks about may dismiss all claims by doing either of the following, neither of which was done appropriately. So, I mean.
Well, I think, again, in looking at the total picture and trying to secure the same end, the 8th District interpreted that language in terms of may dismiss all claims. Obviously, we could argue about the use of the word may. May is certainly different than will and shall. It implies that it's somehow permissive.
Well, and the court says that most of the courts in the state have construed the language all claims literally and have held a party cannot create a final order by dismissing less than all claims.
That's correct. That is how those other districts have come down on that.
And the 8th is the only one that has not taken the language literally.
Right. Right. What is driving, in our opinion, the 8th District Court of Appeals opinion here is really, when you look at the rules of construction for the civil rules, that there's embedded in that this belief that we want to try to move cases along expeditiously. And that is really the primary driver of the interpretation, I think, in this particular case from the 8th District. Again, when we look at the history of Civil Rule 41, it's a history that encourages unilateral dismissals. After all, after discovery has been completed, after the dispositive motion and pretrial motions have been adjudicated, on the day of trial, the plaintiff can walk up to the courthouse steps, stop over at the clerk of court's office, file a notice of dismissal, and the case is over. And that is a system that we live with, and it's allowed the judicial system to flourish under that system already. You can't do that under the federal rule. You can't do that under some of the other states that are contiguous with the state of Ohio. Under the federal rule, for example, they only allow the plaintiff to unilaterally dismiss up until the point that an answer is filed. So in the federal system, you have the court taking reins over the case at a much earlier point in time, and if there's to be any modification after that point, you've got to go to the court and get leave or get permission from opposing counsel. So Ohio's history, by moving that line up until the commencement of trial, we're encouraging a policy of voluntary dismissals in Ohio. This interpretation, though, of allowing the individual dismissal of the claim, it has some symmetry with Civil Rule 15, and I know that that's the option that the other jurisdictions in the court would prefer, that it go through Civil Rule 15. In Civil Rule 15, it indicates that that a pleading can be amended once as a matter of course up until the point that there's a responsive pleading filed to that. So if we're looking at the individual or the initial complaint in a case in terms of the progression of that, we have a situation where the plaintiff can't unilaterally alter it after the responsive pleading. Well, that typically happens in a point in the case where there hasn't been any discovery. And so by moving that, again, I'm just discussing the history of 41A, because we have such a broad period of time when you can dismiss, the plaintiff can then dismiss after they've done discovery and after they've had an opportunity to determine the sustainability of the claim. And as plaintiff's counsel just indicated, that they made a specific determination with regard to the public policy claim that it wasn't sustainable, and that was the reason why they dismissed. They did not dismiss it with prejudice, but certainly under Ohio Civil Rule 41, they could have, in the notice of dismissal, put that in their entry. On top of this history is the most recent incremental change in Civil Rule 41, which was Denham versus City of New Carlisle. Again, that was a case where the plaintiff didn't have to dismiss the entire action. They were able to dismiss out one of the defendants in order to secure a final appealable order. And we would submit to the court that, you know, I'm an advocate of incremental change in the law, and certainly you could come down with a ruling that says that you could utilize the voluntary dismissal only in circumstances when you are trying to secure a final appealable order. I don't know that you necessarily have to have a more broad view and say that it can be applied at any point in time during the administration of the litigation, but we'll leave that to you to discern. For my client's selfish purposes, we only need the limited holding to say that it could be done only when you're trying to secure a final appealable order. And the final point that I would make is that, simply put, that any policy that we have that allows the party to narrow and to limit the issues that are before the trier of fact is a good policy. And so with that, we would ask that you affirm the 8th District Court of Appeals on this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Granger. Ms. Speck, you saved about a minute and a half. I'm sorry, 8.5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor. If a plaintiff was required to request the court for a 54B determination, we believe that there would not be delay on the part of the trial court, because the court would act to get that case off its docket as quickly as possible, and they wouldn't delay, and there wouldn't be a lapse between the time of filing the motion and then the time period where the court would enter the 54 determination that there was a final appealable order. We also, counsel for Appellees mentioned that a plaintiff could dismiss a case on the day of trial. But in that case, the plaintiff would be dismissing all claims, so there wouldn't be piecemeal litigation wherein the party would go forward with one claim at trial and not proceed with all the claims forward to trial. They would have to dismiss all the claims if they were going to dismiss the claims at that point using 41A. I respectfully request that this court reverse and remand the 8th Appellate District's decision that a party may use 41A1A to dismiss only one claim. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Speck. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.